Psalms that you maybe haven't seen before, and so we will be occasionally referring to this. You know, you figure in church it's not a bad idea to, you know, work through the Bible a little bit. Anybody agree with that one?
Yeah.
Oh boy, we are just a really good group today.
And Pastor, will we be lighting the candles today? Or
yes.
Yes, okay.
Lent is a candle lighting day. So if you want to get that going, and we can still ring the bell too, but I guess it's a little late for that. So while Jim's getting ready to light the candles, with Lent, you can see on the back here, there are some notes about Ash Wednesday, the season of Lent. These are the standard ones that I print out on the Ash Wednesday bulletin, just to give us a little feel, because this is a major part of our roots, our Christian roots, our liturgical roots in Christ, connecting with brothers and sisters across the world from the first century on. So this is really quite a momentous time as far as church history goes. And I will say this, this is one of the things that really did attract me personally to the Lutheran Church. I think most of you know, if not all of you, I came from a more community church perspective, and I enjoyed that. And I have no animosity toward it. When I left as a pastor of Calvary Chapel, I left on very good terms. It was a good thing, and we had to move up here because of my wife's poor health. And then I saw the light and became a Lutheran. No, I'm just kidding. But you get the idea. But the thing is, one of the things that really attracted me to the Lutheran Church was just the tie-in with the roots throughout history, and not just the Reformation, you know, 1517, Reformation Sunday, but even going back to that through history. This is a beautiful day that does that. In fact, when we get to the prayer together, I didn't print out the entire prayer of faith and dependence. This is known as the bidding prayer. And it is, it's extremely lengthy, and I've cut it down. But it helps capture the feel of it so well. And I don't know about you, but I just feel privileged to be connected with a family that's much larger than obviously my own physical family, but even my own local spiritual family here. And not even just the fellowship of brothers and sisters alive today in the 21st century, but we are connected since the first century, and it's services like this, Ash Wednesday, that really bring that home to me and make me feel like I'm part of God's bigger picture, yeah, of God's entire family worldwide throughout history. That means all of us are very, very special people, and I sincerely mean that, because of how connected we are to Almighty God and to one another. Do you see where I'm coming from with this? So for me, the season of Lent is not downtime. It is in a certain way, but it's a time to just wake up, smell the coffee, get a little more mellow than usual. And before we get started here officially, I have to give you a quiz. I'm going to ask the same quiz this Sunday. All of you have a heads up. You're going to all get the right answers on Sunday, unless your memory banks are so scarred that you can't remember from now till then. I can see how it's a little harder to remember after a whole year. Believe you me, I can relate. Three R's in Lent. You know this question. You must have known this question is coming. Now, there are all sorts of different ways to divvy that up. But the first R that's like the easiest one to get, and so on and so forth, is what?
Repent.
Yeah, repent, the verb, or repentance, the noun, for sure. And this is symbolized with the 40 days of fasting. You'll see this also in the notes and so forth. And oh, by the way, we're doing two special things in our liturgy today. One, the imposition of ashes. If you want to receive that, great. I always test myself out first. Brenda made life really complicated for me because she gave me two possible little containers of ashes, and I go, oh man, which one's better than the other? So I picked the one, and it worked fine and dandy. So I'll do my best to give you as nice a cross as possible. I plan on leaving this on for a while. We'll be going for lunch afterward. Figure it's a good testimony. And if people think we're members of some weird cult, then we'll explain to them that we really aren't.
Are you really using palm ashes?
Yes, they're actual palms. Yes, that we hand out on Palm Sunday. And then they get burnt and ground in. So that's a very good question to ask.
We didn't make them.
No, we didn't, but we order them and get them out all the time with that. So we've got that going on. We'll also receive Holy Communion as well. So, Jack, do you need a bulletin?
I do.
Do we have any more back? Are they back there?
Yes.
Okay, this is one where you got to have a bulletin to follow along. Great, good to have you.
Second R is?
So the first R, again, everybody, we got this one down, is?
Repent.
Repent, verb, repentance, now. Great. Now, the second R is what I think is the most essential, not repentance, though that's a biggie to be sure, but I think the second R captures the core meaning and value and something we need more than anything else, I believe, in this hustle-bustle culture of ours.
Reflect.
So what is that, everybody?
Reflect.
Reflect or reflection. Wow, are we sharp today? To just stop everything. Let go of all the stimulation. Visual, auditory, just mental stimulation, and reflect. This is almost becoming a lost art. So during Lent, we have an opportunity, and I'd say this is more essential for us than even the term of repentance, because really, if we have anything we need to repent of more than anything else, at least for the church, for people I know, for myself and others, is letting go of this hyperactive, go, 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 fight against the clock. Oh, I'm getting uptight just thinking about it. And just slow down. Reflect, soak in. And then in light of repentance and renewal, the third R that we all love the most is?
Renewal,
yes. Now, some will have restoration, or you'll think of others. But for me, renewal captures so much. And just that word, renewal. There are certain people I pray for every day that I pray for renewal. And whenever I say the word, it just gets me. It makes me just feel better, like, yeah, boy, I need that. I need that. Restoration is also a good one. Prefer renewal a little more. So those are the three R's, and I'm very impressed. I think we're getting this. So we'll see how we do Sunday. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this season of Lent. Use this time as we're going through the Psalms and focusing, being just reflecting upon the Psalms. And we ask you, yes, along with our faith, to repent better, and also experience more and more that renewal that comes from you, especially you, Holy Spirit. So use this time and give it to you. It's all for your glory to truly see your three R's experienced in our lives and so much more. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So let's rise and sing together a song that we may or may not know. Very simple chorus. We'll sing it through twice. Created Me. Like I said, a very simple tune here. Okay.
Created Me. Every new one.
told you about earlier, a condensed version, that joining with God's people across more than 15 centuries who have spoken this prayer on Ash Wednesday. God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
By your cross and passion, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity.
Help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
We turn our hearts to you.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace, O Lord, and mercy. Amen.
Now, this hymn, I believe more than any other in the entire hymnal, and I can't think of a better one, helps for me to capture the real meaning of Lent. It has reflection all the way through it, and it's brief. We'll be singing this throughout Lent, not just Wednesdays, but also on Sunday mornings. Seriously long bangs while I get you. Just maybe get your hair out of the way. We don't want to have to, have you go home and shampoo all over again. Just back. Yeah, right about there. That's good. And let's just, we can line it up. I think we've got everybody this way. And I'm going to get her first.
You know what?
And then I'll come across the one you're getting there.
How you doing?
Come on, it's right here.
No, you can get it right there.
Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, through the cross of Christ, we'll receive a new spiritual body. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, that through the cross of Christ we'll receive a new spiritual body. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, that through the cross of Christ we'll receive a new spiritual body. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, that through the cross of Christ we'll receive a new spiritual body. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, but through the cross of Christ, we receive a new spiritual body. There we go. Lord be with you. You may go back to your seats here. And this is one of the times of the church year, Christmas is the best one, where we have a testimony that we carry with us. And that is this cross. And again, if you want to get rid of it as soon as possible after the service, you go right ahead. I'm planning on wearing mine until I get home and so forth, and remember to wash it off. We have the prayer for the day. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Dear Father, create in us new hearts that are utterly dependent upon you. Help us to more fervently call upon you, the God of amazing grace and tender mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son.
Amen. Amen. We long to grow in our relationship with you.
Now, as I pondered this opening section, we have a lot of responsive readings, you'll notice, through the Psalms. You're going to see the flow of thought in this. We're going to get to that later, but for now, skip over to the next page and I'll be reading Colossians 3:16. In fact, why don't we all rise? We'll read Colossians 3:16 and the gospel reading out loud together. Okay? The gospel reading is below that. We're on the middle page where it says Psalmody, okay? And we're on the right side, New Testament reading, Colossians 3:16. Okay? So, let's read it together. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And our gospel reading from Luke 24. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." You may be seated. And right now, we are going to be listening to my favorite Jewish Christian group. They were out, I think the 70s, possibly earlier than that, but pretty sure the 70s. And this is one of their songs. You can see, clap your hands, one of their more upbeat ones, from Psalm 47, taken straight from the Psalm. So, starting out a little upbeat, but you're going to see how, the flow of thought.
What's the name of the group?
The name of the group is Lamb.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just dynamite.
God's people of Abraham, but the sheaves of earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands to the Lord. Shout to God with your voice. A voice of triumph. Thank you.
be thinking, wow, listen to the lyrics on that one. What are they all excited about? That was sort of not the normal praise music we hear nowadays. That's a good one too. Oh, I love that one. Anyway, we'll get to more. But right now, I'd like you to just open up the Bibles you have here. And if, does somebody need one? Got another one here. These are the ones that we use in our Bible class. That's from over there. The NIV. Everybody have a Bible. You definitely want to have a Bible. Well, we've got more over here too. Everybody else good?
This one on the end of this pew.
Okay. All right. Now, I've got page 843. So, Psalms. That's going to be our focus here. And the book of Psalms is also known as the Psalter. So the title of this is The Path Through the Psalter. And it's by far, I think all of us know, by far the longest book in Holy Scripture, to be sure. So a question to ask us about the overall book is this. Do we have one, we know we have 150 Psalms, but do we have 150 individual units with no real flow of thought throughout the book itself? That's by and large how we treat it. And is it best to read a psalm occasionally when you feel like you need a little bitty, well, you need a little bit of a spiritual pick-me-up? Now, I'm not putting that down, because that's by and large how I have read psalms for most of my life, Christian life. But is there more to it? Well, I think most of you know that I'm writing a book here that's called 30 Plus Days Through the Psalms, A Personal Journal. So far, this is the cover. If you come up with a better idea, let me know. But I wanted it to be simple. And then I've got to get this to the printer. It's going to be in similar format to like Smoking the Bible with the glossy cover. But I figured, oh, maybe I should snazzy up and get a color like this. I don't know. But it's just going to be black and white, no color in it or anything like that. And it's going to be a little bigger because it's going to be an actual workbook. And this is what we've been going over. And I'll tell you, the Bible class has been extremely helpful for me because it's helped me change some ideas about how I've been doing, was putting this together. And it's going to open up like this. So you figure 30 plus days. Well, there are 150 Psalms, so you figure if you do five a day, boom. You got it done, the whole book in 1 month, which is pretty good. This one, however, we've been following through, picking one of the five Psalms, digging into it, and making various notes. So it's a personal journal. And I'm thinking especially, I hate to say it, I'm thinking of you two who like to take notes and study, but I'm really thinking of the people in the jail, because I'm constantly recommending read Psalms, because usually they're so their emotions are all over the place. And Psalms is the best book to really get that. Well, that's the plan. That's what I'm working on. I'm almost finished. I figure maybe another week and I can get it to the printer. Nonetheless, how about this whole concept? What's in it? Well, in the introduction, which I've handed out a lot of these, and it'll be included in this book, because I wanted people to have a tip, some guidelines on how to get it. So, the first thing I ask is this, and I'm just going to give you little snippets of this. Do you want to learn how to be more honest with yourself and with God? Do you want to learn how to make sense of this corrupt, chaotic, and crooked world? I love that C alliteration there. And it's all true. I'm not sure I want to make sense of it, but it's probably a good thing to do. Do you want to learn how to be more positive in your outlook? And then do you want to learn how to be more compassionate and perceptive, not just compassion, but perceptive in dealing with others. There are other questions I ask. And then go into this. The book of Psalms is like, and I have seven of these, I'm just giving you two. The book of Psalms is like a spiritual emergency room. When you're in over your head spiritually and you need serious divine intervention, you can become more confident in letting the great physician carry you through the crisis you're undergoing. Psalm 99 brings this out beautifully. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And then the second one I'll mention is the book of Psalms is like a medicine chest. You may need a spiritual pick-me-up that I mentioned earlier. When you're discouraged and disillusioned, a healing ointment for hurts that you have endured, or a remedy for grief and pain. If so, the Lord of Love has just the right prescription for you in the Psalms. Psalm 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, the next section I have put a lot of time in, and thank you, God, for the internet. It really has helped, because I got what I'm titling Famous and Forceful Quotes on the Psalms. The first one, maybe you've heard of this guy before, the reformer, Martin Luther. Anybody here? Oh, yeah. Luther has actually written quite large expository amount of literature on the Psalms. This is one of his quotes. The human heart is like a ship on a stormy sea, driven about by winds blowing from all four corners of heaven. The book of Psalms is full of heartfelt utterances made during storms of this kind. Where can one find nobler words to express joy than in the Psalms of praise or gratitude? In them you can see into the hearts of saints. If you were looking at a lovely, like you were looking at a lovely pleasure garden, or were gazing into heaven, how fair and charming and delightful the flowers you will find there. Isn't that expressive? And then this one by C.S. Lewis, maybe you've heard of him. This was, seemed to be the favorite one when we were going through these quotes earlier, the Bible class. And he says, the more I come to recognize, the most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance. Isn't that cool? And then Gloria Gaither, who along with her husband and others, I mean the Gaither family, have recorded so much, composed and recorded so much music, she had this to say. The more I come to recognize my story's place in God's grander story, my once bewildered questions are turning to psalms of thanksgiving at the wonder that I have been included in what he is doing. And then this last quote is probably from the most famous of all the people combined and then some. Let's see if you recognize the name. A psalm a day keeps the devil away. Five psalms a day keeps the heart ablaze. You know who wrote that famous line? Me.
I've got a cider for you.
So anyway, that's some of the stuff that we have in here. Now, let's just take a look in the book. And they have the introductory stuff. You don't need to take a look at that so much. But before we get to the actual Psalm 1, what do we notice the first official words of the Psalter that are later additions by scribes? It's not part of the inspired text, if you will. Probably not. But what are the first words even prior before we get to Psalm 1?
Book 1.
What? And book one, what's included in book one? Psalms 1 to 41. Do you know how many of these books there are?
Five.
There are five. And yeah, if you peek ahead, they sort of tell you I love this Bible because it's a plain Jane Bible and they don't give you stuff except right here. But there are five books. Now, have you ever asked yourself the question? Well, first of all, have you noticed that before? It's something we skip over because we're looking at the Psalms as individual units rather than one whole book. Right now, our focus today is on one whole book and how the individual parts contribute to the whole. And I will tell you this, in all my years of studying, not just studying, I won't say that, studying, all my years of attending church, whether they be Sunday morning services with the sermon or whether it be at Bible studies, I have never gone over this, I've never heard gone over this information. I personally have not really taught this that much myself. When we went through a year through the Bible, I've got to prepare my own notes, and I'm not sure I put it together as well as I should have. Nonetheless, we have five books in Psalms organized. Why is that? Why five? Why not seven? At, you know, the number of completion that is just, you know, for the days of creation and so forth. Or three seems to be a regular number that God uses that has a beautiful flow to it, three persons of the Holy Trinity. But three seems to be a continual number throughout Scripture used. Even four for the four corners of the earth type idea, comprehensive. 40. That'd be a little more complicated, but still, 40 is a number we use. Why five? Five doesn't seem to fit in that well. But what is there five of that is so foundational? Come on, keep scratching those heads when you consider God's truth and what has five in it that's so important, so foundational for us?
Torah.
The Torah. And wow, I'm impressed you even used the Jewish word Torah.
You're welcome.
Which we call, yes, thank you, the law. The first five books of what we call the Old Testament, what the Jews call the Tanakh, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, which we say the law, prophets, and writings. Now, the Torah clearly has five books in it, and for the Jews, I was mentioning this, I think, even last Sunday, this is the foundational part of Holy Scripture. We Christians would agree with this, too. It is foundational. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Jesus believed that. We see the quotes even here from Colossians and the gospel reading and so forth. Foundational. Well, you have five books in the Torah. We have five books in the Psalms. But the five books in the Torah emphasize God's revealed truth for his people. That is foundational. The Psalms, however, give a full revelation of worship, of how to connect with God. It is significantly different type of literature than we find in the Torah, the law, the Pentateuch. Instead, it is not the law of foundation and revealed truth, though certainly that's an element. It is the whole fullness of connection with who we are as individuals, corporately, in our relationship to God, and the multifaceted avenues that that takes. Now, if you have to say there is one theme in Psalms that stands out more than any other, what would that be? Psalms is a book of okay, most people aren't going to say that one. Most people are going to say praise. And it has been used throughout the history of the church as well as certainly for the Jews. The main book, the main book of liturgy, whether it be singing it, saying it, and so forth. Now, do you see that? Now, one thing too Let's take a look. We're in Psalm 1. What's the first word in the entire book?
Blessed.
Blessed. Wow, what a cool way to start. Anybody here want to get blessed? Sign me up for that one. And we notice there's no one, what we call these psalm titles. So put that off to the side. We're going to use it a little bit more, but not much, because we have our liturgy. Now we're ready with just some very simple basic information. Now we're ready, and we'll do this psalmody responsively. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water,
which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does,
prospers. Okay, now, that's quite an interesting beginning to the Psalms. And what I've done is I put together, and those of you already have these, you know, if you want another one, you can have it. But other than that, there are all sorts of ways to categorize the Psalms. Okay? I have chosen to use the alliteration, because you probably picked up by now, I really like alliteration. It's a good mnemonic device, memory device, and so forth. And what we're going to do is, with these 12 W's, see how the W's, what W's are going on where. Now, Psalm 1 opens is the introduction to the entire collection, the entire Psalter. And it begins with the word blessed, and it contrasts what? Here, I would go all the way down to the fourth one, the way. It contrasts the path of righteousness with the way of wickedness. Now, you wouldn't normally think of Psalms having that type, but that is the beginning. Now let's go on to Psalm chapter 2. Turn the page in the Bible and see, it just says Psalm 2 and starts digging in. There's no what we call a Psalm title. So let's read Psalm 2 that's printed out here responsively together. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain?
The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together. Against his anointed one.
By the way, you know what anointed one stands for? Christ. What does it mean? Yeah, Messiah, Christ, exactly. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters.
The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them.
Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Now, this one right here, it's interesting. The first psalm begins with way. This is the second half of the introduction of the entire Psalter, which really fits the whole concept of worthy. And who's worthy? The focal point here is Yahweh himself and his anointed one, the Messiah, who's the perfect king, the perfect fulfillment, who is the ultimate anointed one, the coming king. So notice, the entire Psalter begins with, here's the way to go. But never, ever, ever forget who and who alone is worthy. And we get torn up, we get thrown off by evil. But what is Yahweh's response and his Messiah's? They just laugh and scorn at these piddly rigmarole tantrums of evil, like little foolish children, because he is so worthy, he's above and beyond it all. Now, what's interesting that ties the first two psalms together is the word we started with, because in the first word, First word, first verse of 1:1 is blessed. But verse 12 also ends with a blessing. Blessed are those who take refuge in Him. You want a blessing? Get the Psalms. So it opens with the way, and the key element in the way is recognizing who and who alone is worthy. Who and who alone is the one pouring out the blessing. This is the introduction to the entire Psalter, the fullness of God's will and ways for us. Now, take a look in your Bible, and we notice something very interesting. It doesn't start with verse 1 in the English. The print's smaller. And let's just read the words before we get to verse 1. A psalm, everybody, let's go. Chapter 3, verse 1. But before we get to verse 1, it's the psalm title. And there are three ways to view psalm titles. Part of Holy Scripture, which I may embrace that. There are good reasons for that. Or the other extreme is just to reject them as useless, which I don't like that view. My view is this. They're actually really good for historical background, though they're not part of Holy Scripture. Nonetheless, let's just read the psalm title. A Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Wow, that gives us some important background. And let's just go back to our little sheets here. Because the other two did not have psalm titles. Why? Because they're the introduction to the entire Psalter. By the way, for your information, I believe there are 100, I have it in my intro, 117 of these psalm titles. So by far, most of the psalms have an introductory psalm title. Okay? If you want to find out about that more, you know, when I get the book, you can look at all that stuff. I have more on that. So let's just take a look at 3:1 responsively. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me?
To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill.
From the Lord comes deliverance.
May your blessing be on your people.
Wow, I need that word blessing again. Because when you look through the 12 different types of psalms, and it's harder to see with just this brief selection, but what is he really doing? Look at verse 4. To the Lord I cry aloud. This is what, W?
Whining.
The first, after the introduction, the first psalm is whining. It's known as a lament. And there are two kinds of lament. The individual lament, or the communal lament, which is we, our. And it's basically pouring heart out to God, saying how awful things are. I'm so discouraged. I'm so thrown off. Da, 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 da. Now, whining, lament, fancy ways of saying good old-fashioned complaining. Getting our griping out, but it's to God. Just to let you know something, and if you recall from that whining to God theme that we went over last year, that the lament, the whining, by far the number one popular type of psalm in the entire Psalter. But I'm just going to say right now, if you and I aren't good complainers to God, we better be in the Psalms on a regular basis, because we're not following the model that they're setting here. Now, the next psalm we see is a type of whining as well, Psalm 51, very popular psalm, and it's confessional with David. Let's move on, and let's go to, you know, running out of time here. We'll go to the next one here in chapter 7. Here we go. O Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me.
Or they will tear me like a lion and rip me in pieces.
Arise, O Lord, in your anger, rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice.
God is a righteous judge who expresses his wrath every day.
If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow.
I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord.
Now, there's a thanksgiving at the end, but the gist of this one is very different. Focused on two words that are attributes of God, his anger, his wrath. These are technically, I call them wrath, W-R-A-T-H. They're technically known as imprecatory psalms, and they are by far the hardest psalms to deal with. But I'm going to just briefly propose to you, we will tackle a psalm of wrath during these Wednesday services. And I guarantee you, you're going to be really encouraged by that. And not in a sadistic way, but in a way to see, get to know an aspect of God that we often overlook. And I may even just run off this one article that I've read from the best introductory book I've read on Psalms, who does the best treatment of these imprecatory Psalms I've ever seen. And what he proposes, and I fully agree with, is this. If we were to not have these imprecatory Psalms, major part of our own devotional life, Christianity, biblical truth, would be seriously lacking. It's really remarkable. So wrath on that one. The next one, look at Psalm 19. It starts with the wonder, the work of creation, and then it goes to word. In fact, let's just read verse 10 together. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. What's that? The law of the Lord, his revealed truth to us. And then we go to this next one. We'll read Psalm 37 together. It's very brief, just the snippet I have. Do not fret because of evil men or envy those who do wrong. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will. And it goes on. This is a psalm of wisdom. And there are some of these sprinkled throughout. Not that many compared certainly to the lament. Then, Psalm 16. This is beautiful. I'll read this. We'll do it responsively. Prayers to God. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I've called this wealth. And then another theme that we don't think is really in the Old Testament, certainly in Psalms, if it is, it's not that much, but it really is. Let's 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation in all nations. That's witness, worldwide testimony, witness. And then finally, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. That's the close. Now, again, we think of Psalms as being worship. And it is. But it opens up with way worthy. And in order to get to worship, to praise it as content, substance, and depth, we've got all these other W's as well. Because this is a complex world. We are complex people, especially women, right, guys? And then we've got so much going on here. God understands that. And we need to recognize it and not run from it and not be shallow and just go to church and say, well, I did my duty and boom. But there's so much more to it. And that's what all the path goes to worship, to be sure, at the end. The last six chapters highlight worship. 146 to 150. Boom, boom, boom. But in order to get to the fullness of worship, there's a lot of W's to get to that point as well. And it's all intermixed. How wonderful is that? So let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you so much for the awesome book of Psalms. I'm getting so pumped just studying all this stuff. Like I've never studied Psalms as carefully as now, and I'm just thrilled. And help us to grow in that. In your precious name, Jesus, we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's rise and join together in our great confession of faith.
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us, the people of God in Christ Jesus, continually call on our precious Lord and Savior with empty hands of faith.
Amen. You alone have the words of eternal life.
Amen. You may be seated. We'll take an offering now, and while we're doing that, we'll sing a cappella, Spirit of the Living God. We have not, as of yet, decided what our offering will be going to. So you have some ideas, let me know. I'd like to pick a project during this time. So,
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread when he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Take, drink, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Now, we're going to just come down here, make it easier to serve, and I'll hand out these elements. And Jim, if you'll, in fact, I'm going to let you hand out these elements today. And I will do these, and we'll do it in our typical way. And after we serve, we all get served, and then Jim and I will serve ourselves. Okay? So, come, and you can just do this continuously. You don't have the common cup. We just have the individual cups.
Body of Christ. Blood of Jesus. Shed for you.
That groans Christ to part of his peace.
Love our Lord and Savior, shed on you our stones grace on part of his peace. The blood of the great physician shed for you. The blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords shed for you. from his grace, departing in his peace. The blood of the good shepherd sheds for you. The blood of the Son of God shed for you. Go in his grace, life in his peace. The blood of our Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lamb of God shed for you. Go in his grace, pardon his peace. The blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords shed for you. Go in his grace, pardon his peace. The blood of the Holy Lamb of God shed for you. The God of our precious Lord and Savior shed for you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for feeding us, for nurturing us, for loving us, or as some say, granting us blessing. And please deepen our worship as we experience you, the full God, for all the little parts of our heart, even the deep corners that seem neglected, for you to get to each and every part because you love us so much. And thank you again for giving your son Jesus to die for us, raise him from the dead, this precious gift of Holy Communion. We thank you in your name. Amen. Now, may the God of all love, grace, and mercy deepen us as we learn better how to repent, how to reflect, how to experience his renewal, particularly as we become intimately acquainted, close friends with the one book in Holy Scripture of connection, clear connection, multifaceted, the Book of Psalms. Lord be with you. Amen. Okay. We have a closing song. You can rise for this. It's taken from Psalm 32:7. You are my hiding place. We've sung it here before, but we'll sing it through twice, and it'll come back to you. It's a pretty easy song, and it's got a little bit of a minor tone to it, a somber tone that helps.
You are my hiding place.
Strong in the strength of
Amen. Lord be with you. You may be seated. We've got a quick announcement here. And we do want to see who all is going out to lunch. It's just a smidge after 11. This will be by far our longest service because of the imposition of ashes and so forth. And I tried to put it as condensed a fashion on the overall flow of Psalms. We'll be digging into a series of W's after this to get the dip. And each week after this will be a different W so we can get a fuller experience of that going on. Now, I do want to say, I encourage you to read a psalm a day to keep the devil away. Now, if you want to keep your heart ablaze, you can read 5 a day. And an easy way to always remember, because let's face it, things come up and we forget or we get distracted and, oh man, you know, got to get back to this, that, or the other thing. So, today is March 6th. 5 psalms a day, we would read 26, Psalms 26 to 30. Multiple of 5. Now that math isn't that tough. We're not talking advanced calculus here. Some simple arithmetic. Tomorrow would be day 7, 31 to 35. And my suggestion, like I put in the book here, is if you don't want to read all 5, okay, read 1 and ponder it, and so on and so forth. And then move on and be blessed, okay? Now, the other practical matter, Brenda, could you announce to us what restaurant we're planning on going to here pretty soon? And we will definitely be the lunch crowd because it's early.
The Chowder Bowl at Nye Beach.
Okay, now, what's the address on that one?
Oh, I just got the phone number. It's in the turnaround in Nye Beach.
Okay. So, does everybody know how to get there and so on and so forth?
Janice can ride with me, so.
I heard that the parking there is very limited, so I asked Lorna if we could carpool, and I thought.
I think that's a good idea.
Did you bring your swimsuit to carpool?
I have a van.
I'll bum a ride on you, Jack. Do we know? Do you know exactly where it is? Chowder Bowl.
As soon as followed by Google Maps.
Okay. So I just need a quick change. But the thing is, what's the street it's on? Just so that we know that.
You know the Arch and
I Beach.
Arch and I Beach.
You don't need the street names here.
So go down to the lower parking lot. Is it finished yet? I haven't been down there.
Yes, it is.
The lower parking lot. It's and then you cross the street.
That street
so
is
not
finished.
Far away from the pack, right?
From the pack?
No,
Olive Street. So it's not far away from Olive Street, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
true.
We'll find it. No sweat.
I can't.
How many of you are planning going so we can get
it's on the Nye Beach turnaround.
So it's pretty close.
Is everybody going?
Raise your hand if you're going, please, if you want to go. So how many do we have?
12?
Yeah, we really should call them ahead of time and let them know to set that up. And then we'll get there within the next 5-10 minutes. We'll get there before 11:30 anyway.
They have wonderful bread pudding there. At least they have
that. Ooh, that sounds good. And I get my special dispensation to splurge during Lent on Wednesdays, okay?
I thought we were supposed to
be nothing. We are.
We are.
By the way, I would say